Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 12. We'll get right into the Word of God today. What a great year last year. You know, if you listen to the world, everything's negative, negative, negative. But you know, things are happening. Even when it's darkness around, light can be shining. Can I get an amen? When everybody's struggling, you can be flourishing. Can I get a better amen? When everybody is looking for the escape hatch, you can look for the opportunity from heaven. Can I get an amen? And learning to turn our perspective to see the way God sees it. See, I'm a firm believer when Jesus said that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that means to seek how the king does stuff. Right. Heaven wants you to see the way heaven sees. Amen. Heaven wants you to think the way heaven thinks. Amen. See, if we're around environments, you know, the Bible tells us that the wrong company corrupts good morals, good behaviors. So we've seen that if you've ever raised your kids and they've gone through that phase, you want to help them choose the right friends, because the wrong friends can do what? Can shape them in the wrong direction. But iron with the righteous, or with good people, iron sharpens iron, which means the relationships that you have around you, that you're exposed to, that you're on a regular basis with, will sharpen you, make you better. And so if you're like, man, I'm just struggling all the time. Well, are your friends struggling too? Yeah, we're all struggling. Maybe find a new set of friends. Come on, somebody. Because they should be encouraging and helping each other. No one's perfect. But the same way with heaven. When you spend and allow God to be around the presence of God and the Word of God, it will sharpen you to where you begin to see things differently. It could be the same situation, but seen differently. The same opportunity, but seen differently. Those who were part of the Philistine army, as they sent out their giant to say, we'll let him handle it. And then you have Israel hiding. They all saw it as a lose-lose situation. They thought there is no way out. And what were they doing? They were hiding. You wonder, how long were they going to hide? Think about that. You're in battle against an army, and all of a sudden everybody, including the king, is in his tent, and the others are hiding, and they're off the battlefield. You have to wonder, how long are you going to do that? Do you think it's going to go away? Are they waiting the Philistine army out? Are they waiting? Maybe they'll get bored, and they'll just disappear, and we'll act like it never happened. Yeah. We'll just wait till they like us a little better, and then maybe they won't be so mean to us. Why are they waiting anyway? If God be for them, who can be against them, right? David saw it as an opportunity, not as a diminishing effect, but as a great opportunity for advancement. David looked at it and said, is there not a cause? Why aren't we dealing with this? Why aren't we going after that? Why are you waiting so long? Why are we waiting so long? I hear this in my spirit. It's not even in my notes, but I hear this in my spirit for somebody. Why are you waiting so long to deal with the giant that's been tormenting your life? Are we waiting for him to get bored and then leave? Are you ignoring it just that it'll disappear one day and or you'll settle and get comfortable? No, rise up in the things of God. Amen. Do you hear me? Rise up in the Word of God. Amen. Isaiah 61, arise and shine, for your light has come. Rise up and be the man and woman of God that God called you to be. Charge the giant. Do what he's called you to do. Matthew 18, 18, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why do we sit waiting for the enemy while he taunts us? Why not let him know that the army he is fighting, that he is not, like David said, that you have not come against man, which is sword or spirit, but you are fighting against the armies of the living God. And this day, he's going to diminish you to the place that even a little shepherd can cut your head off. Yes, indeed. Shout amen. Shout a better amen. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, the latter part of that verse into verse 2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We talked about a little bit last week. You don't have to run everybody's race. You don't have to run every good race. You're supposed to run the race that God brings before you. That'll free you up. You don't have to praise like everybody praises. You don't have to worship like everybody worships. Worship with your design where you're at. Because we should all be growing. We should all be growing. I remember when I was growing in the things of God, even in this area of praise and worship. Everybody, your style, your temperament is different. You might look at some people and say, why aren't they praising? And they're praising. You might look at some people and say, man, they are crazy and they are weird. Why are they praising that way? Well, that's just them. You got to let them be them. Right. Amen. But I remember growing to the things of God and getting to where, man, just standing up, maybe even clapping. That was about all I can do. Come on, somebody. And I was a PK, so that's even worse. Come on, somebody. And then they get into worship, and I'd be like, you know, you got your friends, you're in high school, and the Lord move upon your heart, lift your hand. Okay, well, I'll just give it a little bit of this. And you keep doing it that level, operate at your level of faith, Romans says. And then one day the Holy Spirit started moving upon my heart during worship, lift a little higher. Two hands. You know what I mean? It's a growing. We got to let people grow.
Yeah.
Run the race set before you.
Yes.
Because if you run the race that other people have that you haven't been called to run, or maybe you haven't been called to run yet, you can exhaust yourself.
Right.
You might be a power lifter in 20 years, but if you haven't lifted weights, you do not want to go in for one rep max. Come on, somebody. Because it's not going to be good. You can get ahead of yourself. I was sharing, and this is just a weird story, but I'll tell it since it just came to my mind. I was at the gym, I remember years ago, and this guy was trying to bench, and he was doing, for those of you who've ever been in the gym, you know what I mean, there's, especially for guys, our ego, I guess, we want to see how much we can bench. And so he was pushing it, and he had three spotters, that's people around in case it doesn't go well. And he was going for a one rep max, that's his, and so it was around 450, it's a lot of weight. And as he's pushing it, and going up, you know, guys, when they're lifting, especially in bench, they can do some weird things, can they not? Those who've been in the gym, just weird that it's not accurate, it's not right. And so there's several things he was doing wrong, and I'm not an expert at bench, but obviously there were a few things that were going wrong because as he's pushing it, his thumbs popped out of socket. I'll stand there, watch this, closest me to you.
Okay.
His thumbs popped out of socket. I watched it happen. And that bar, halfway, came back down on his chest.
Right.
Why? Because he was doing it wrong. See, a lot of times we'll do things thinking, oh, I got to do what everybody else is doing. And you can get yourself out there. But if God didn't call you to be there yet, maybe there's some things you need to learn so that when you get there, things don't start popping out of sockets. Come on, somebody. You don't get out of joint somewhere. Sometimes I wonder if people get offended that they're just out of joint. Come on, pun. I'll leave it at that. Run the race set before you. Say, run the race,
set before me.
Notice it goes on to say, looking unto Jesus. Now here's our example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author, that means he's the one who started this context of faith. Jesus is the author of your faith. Jesus is the author of your faith. John 1 tells us that he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Challenge everything I say, please. Write it down later, research it, because never take mine or anybody's idea as gospel, only the Word.
Yes.
And you will grow as you study the Word and challenge it.
Amen.
And so Jesus is the Word, John 1:1 and John 1, verse 14. And Romans 10:17 tells us that's how faith comes, by hearing and hearing the Word of God. There's also a thing called gift of faith out of 1 Corinthians 12. That's another level of faith. Everybody's been given a measure of faith, but 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that the Holy Spirit also can add to it a spiritual, special gifting upon things,
Amen.
One of them being the gift of faith, as he desires. And that's why we're told in that chapter to desire spiritual gifts.
Yes.
It's getting quiet on me. And so Jesus is the author. He's the starter. He's the originator of your faith. He's the author. He's also the finisher. Say the finisher.
The finisher.
So in the journey of life, when you're running the race of life, you got to remember that when you were doing it God's way, what he's invited you to through his word, that he's the one that got you on this path.
Yes.
Man, because the devil will try to tell you, and Paul says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil will try to tell you in the battles of life that you're out there alone. And if you're doing it God's way, you might feel alone sometimes, but you're listening to me, you are never alone because he will never leave you
Yes.
nor forsake you. That's why Romans tells us that we're not moved by what we feel, hear, or see. We're moved by the word of God. But it's a tendency in the battles of life to feel I'm all alone. God has rejected me or left me out here by myself. But he'll never leave you. Say, he'll never leave me.
Never
Somebody leave. Needs to say, he's never left me,
never.
And he never will.
He never will.
So you might not feel a Holy Ghost goosebump. You might not feel warm and fuzzy. You might not feel something like that, but that doesn't make a difference. Out of your mouth, you ought to say, thank you, Father, that I thank you that Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. I am not alone. You feel alone, but you're not alone. It looks like you're alone, but you're not alone. Shout, I'm not alone. He's the author and finisher. He's the completer on this journey, this race of life. So I like to think of it this way. He's not only the one at the beginning saying, go. He's the one at the finish line saying, come.
Yes.
He's inviting you to the completion.
Amen.
And he's doing the work on the inside of you.
Amen.
He which has begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, till he returns.
That's right.
And so he's the finisher. He's the one that's completing you. He empowers. It's all about, listen to me. At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus
right.
and his word. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. There's nothing outside him when it comes to the plan of God. So he starts you on this journey, and he's the one that enables you, Philippians tells us, giving us the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. Oh, I just don't really, I know I should. He's leading, I just don't know if I have the ability. Then you need to ask him because he's already giving you the desire and the ability, the Bible says.
Amen.
He's completing this work in you.
Right.
So he stands from the place of finishing when he's looking at you in process. Let me say it this way. He stands at the end of the race in the place of completion when you're still in the process.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he speaks to you and reveals his word to you, he's not revealing his word to you from the place of you being broken or fallen or in the pit. He talks to you from the perspective of the completion.
Amen.
So he will look at a man without children whose name was thank you. You win the trophy right there. But thank you very much. Forget the rest of them. Just me and you. We'll just talk. Just me and you. If they're not going to play, I'm not. So from the place of completion, he talks. He takes a man named
Abram
and says, I'm going to call you Abraham. Now, we know that Abraham means the father of a multitude, does it not?
Yes.
But Abram means the father of a nation. So what he was saying is, you're named Abram, which means I'm a father of a nation.
Yeah.
So Abram walked around with the label of I'm a father of a nation. I'm a father of a nation. Sarai, later became Sarah, where's your husband? What's his name? His name's Abram. Oh, how many kids you have? None. But he was called a father of a nation. A father, which means that Abram could not do in his best day what he had marked out to be called to do.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because they just didn't name children what was trending. So he had been identified as Abram, and he failed his own goal.
Yeah.
And God shows up. And God says, I'm going to change your name. Most of us would be, can you please change this and get this weight off me? Because I can't live up to this stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Here's a whole other side note. Religion will put a weight on you that you can't live up to.
True.
Oh, some of us have been there. We walk in crawling in church and crawling out of church.
Yeah.
Told we were bad when we were coming and bad when we're leaving. Right. Not good enough, couldn't do enough, never give enough, never serve enough, never do, you know what I mean? Right? Some in religion, it will tell you all the things you're doing wrong. That's why I'm into a real relationship with Jesus. I'm not into man's rules. I'm into God's revelation. And I can only imagine Abram saying, oh, praise God. I can tell people that God changed my name. Let's make it some, how about just a good husband? We'll leave it at that. Give me a name that means good husband. You know what I mean? Faithful, consistent. How about that? God said, no, I'm going to change your name from a father of nations to a father of many nations.
Wait.
So you want me to go back and tell my wife and tell my neighbors that you've changed my name and tell them that I'm going to be called now a father of many nations. Do we have any options here? Is this multiple choice? Do I have true or false, yes or no? Because I don't want to deal with that. Because I couldn't do it here. Now you want me to do there? Folks, if you're struggling with living in religion, it's because you're doing it on your own ability. You got to let God do it with his ability, and then he'll take you to the next level. Jesus didn't lower the bar when he showed up with grace. People say, oh, grace is all, everything goes, and he lowered the bar. He raised the bar with grace. Jesus said, someone needs to hear this. Jesus said that it's been said that you shall not commit adultery. I tell you, if you look at a woman and lust after in your heart, you've committed adultery with her.
Right.
Yep. Is that a higher or lower bar?
Higher.
Jesus said, it's been said, talking about the law, that you shouldn't commit murder. I tell you that if you destroy their reputation and self-image, you've murdered them.
Yep.
Higher or lower? So he raised the bar, but he didn't raise the bar to make it harder. He raised the bar and empowered you with his grace.
Amen.
I'll leave that there for later. So he's the author and the finisher. So when he calls you from a place of completion. So he doesn't look at you in the fragment of your problem. He looks at you and speaks to you in the context of your completion. And so that's why it doesn't always make sense when you begin to speak what God is saying in alignment of that agreement. And your body says you're in pain, but the word says by his stripes you were healed. Therefore, you're the healed of the Lord. It doesn't make sense. Why? But you got to understand, he's talking to you from the context of completion. And to get to the place of completion, you got to operate by faith. Hebrews 6:12-11 and Hebrews 11:33. We inherit, we receive through faith and patience. And in that process of faith, we have to understand that we have to take ownership before we see it in the natural. We have to own it in the realm of God.
Amen.
For faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Mark 11:23-24. When you pray, believe that you have received them. So the ownership of what I'm saying must be in alignment with the completer and not with the...
Come on.
Say, he's the finisher. Come on, talk to me, church. We'll get through this. You can have lunch at the buffet early. Come on, he's the finisher. Say, he's the finisher. I'm going to say it this way. He's the great finisher. Now, I want to talk about, we're going to transition a little bit. And this is just the way the Lord's working with me right now. We'll just go with it this year. So it's like not individual messages, not series. They're all kind of working together like a river. So one idea is carrying to the next, and the new idea will carry to the next. And so I want to move into a new series, but really it's a continuation of the past series. I want to talk about the benefits of the great finisher, because a lot of Christians only focus on the author of their faith. And they struggle because they don't know where the great finisher is.
Right.
Because the great finisher is at the place of completion.
Right.
And they're running a journey not knowing where the end line is for themselves. Can you imagine going on a marathon run and you're all of a sudden you find yourself, you start off with thousands of people and somewhere in the journey, you're all by yourself.
Yeah.
That should be a red flag, or that could be a great flag. It either means you're way ahead of everybody or you missed a turn somewhere.
Right?
If you don't know where the end is, how do you know? You just keep running. And some of us have been spinning on the wheel of life, thinking and praying and believing, not knowing, are we ever getting to the end of it? Because you don't know where the end is, because you don't know where the finisher's at. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to talk about just one benefit, and we'll take a few weeks to do this. One benefit today of the finisher. One benefit of the finisher. We're going to go back to the story we started last week. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 22. We're going to start at verse 22. And this is about Jesus walking on the water. But I want to back up a little bit before we get to Peter walking on the water too. So in chapter 13, just in context, Jesus just fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Great story, great miracle.
Yeah.
In chapter 14, here's a transitional thing happening. So Jesus is talking, and he, notice here, verse 22, immediately he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him. So what did he do? He directed the disciples to get into a boat and go ahead. Say, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Say, go ahead of me.
Go ahead.
So he sent them ahead of himself. You guys get in the car. I'll meet you at the destination. We're going to meet for dinner. We're going to meet for vacation, whatever. And I'm going to send you ahead of me. So you get in the car and off you go. So in theory, unless you drive super slow, and I drive super fast, you should be ahead of me the whole journey.
Right.
And you should be there before me.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, just the other day, and I have fun with this, my wife and I were meeting for lunch or dinner or something, some meal. And then we both had drove separately because we were coming. So we're meeting at the restaurant. And then we're going back to the house. So it must be dinner. And so on the way, we're talking on the phone to each other, and I buzzed past her. She didn't know I passed her. I knew I passed her. She just felt a gust of blue wind. And so by the time I get home, my car's in the garage. I'm inside the house, watch two movies, painted the house three times with a hand brush. No. So obviously I got their head. And she was like, how did you get there ahead of me? I said, she goes, I thought you were behind me this whole time. I said, that's where you thought I was, but I passed you. I waved. Smiled. Maybe even laughed a little. But I passed you. I got ahead of you. So when someone's typically, if they're faster, they'll get ahead.
Right.
And they'll stay ahead. And they'll get there. So back to our story. And immediately he directed the disciples to go into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This is the Amplified Translation. And while he sent the crowds away, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was already a long distance away. Verse 24 again. But the boat by this time was already a long distance away. So before he even started, they were not only gone, they were gone for a long time. So Jesus sent the disciples off, and then he turns around and he does some ministry. He comes back to the crowd, and he's sending off the 5,000 men, women, children, not counting children and wives. So he's telling them, it's time for you to go back. Thank you for coming. And you know they're going to be like, Lord, thank you for teaching. Thank you for dinner. I mean, you just ate a miracle dinner. You're going to want to get close and say thank you. I don't know how long it takes, but I know how long it takes just in a normal crowd, shake people's hands, talk to them for a few seconds, and off they go. And think we're talking possibly 10, 15,000 people. And so he's working with them, getting them out while the disciples are rowing and moving forward. So he's being held back helping to others while the disciples are moving forward. And then instead of saying, oh, I'm getting late, and that's typically my rhythm. I like my hair on fire. It's like I come alive when I'm late. I got to get things done. I like that intensity. That's just my style. I don't like planning out 6 months in advance. I'll let somebody else plan. I got a 24-hour idea. Let's do something, and we need it done by tomorrow morning. I like the impossible stuff. But instead of just saying, hey, I'm late, I need to get going, what does he do? The Bible says he goes up and he spends time in prayer. So Jesus is now praying and spending time with the Father after he spent time ministering to the people, after he had already sent the disciples and said, I'll meet you there.
Right.
Do you got the picture?
Yeah.
In the context of that story, the Bible tells us that the disciples now are rowing, and now they're in a storm, and they begin to, in verse 24, he was a long distance from land, tossed and battered by the waves, so the wind was against them. So they're in their journey dealing with the opposition of the storm, and remember, we'll get into that later, that the waves are the effect of the wind, and the wind is the demonic force that the enemy is using to slow them down. And in the fourth watch of the night, which is approximately 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., most of us are asleep at that time or just waking up. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were immediately terrified and said, it is a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately he spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Now before we get into Peter, I want you to have the context of this. So they are way far, not just ahead, really, really ahead. And he stayed back. He stayed back to minister to the people and spend time ministering to the Father in prayer. And then he left. And from all natural time management seminars you could come to, he is behind the schedule. He's got to catch up. He's behind. There's no way to catch up. They're way ahead. And yet the Bible says that he not only catches up. In the original Greek, it says it this way, that he was walking on the water, stay with me, and was passing them by. We miss some of the stuff that's in the text. He not only took off way after them, he caught them.
Yeah.
And was passing them by when they screamed. I'd scream too if I saw somebody walking on the water at between 3 and 6 a.m. in a storm.
Right.
And they shouted, it's a ghost. Well, I mean, why would you say it's a ghost? And I would just, I mean, first reaction, inclination should be, I hope it's you, Jesus. But they're like, it's a ghost. Talk about jumping to the negative quickly. But anyway, it's another message for another time. Anyway, And Jesus walking by, and they cry out, and they said, "Look, it's a ghost." And he said, "Be not afraid, it's I." And then Peter, we know the story, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, call me out. Call me out. Call me out to do something that you are able to do that I cannot do on my best day."
Yeah.
Ooh, we're going to get into that later. Some of us are living at a level that is great for us, but still not great for God.
All right.
That he has still more in store.
Yeah.
And I'll get into why that's important for us. And they said, "Lord, if that's you, call me out." Now I want to stop here because the focus of my thought today comes within the context of Jesus not only catching them, but passing them. Why is that important? What am I getting to? What is God saying to our hearts today? Because some of you may be in the journey of life, and this is regardless of if you're just starting out in life and maybe you're a young teenager, or if you have been around and you've been retired for so many years and you're just, your next big event is going to heaven. I don't know where you're at. Those are both extremes. But I know in the journey and the battles of life, the devil will always tell you why you can't get to where God called you to be.
Right.
It might be, it's too late because that curve's already happened. It's too late now. There's too many businesses that are like that. It's overly saturated. It's too late for you because everybody's ahead of you. It's too late for you because you've too far advanced in life and you'll never catch up. You don't have the time to get to that point. It's too late. I don't know what the devil's telling you. What is too late and why you can't get to the destiny God has for you and what God's been speaking to you and what you're praying and believing. And when the devil tells you it's too late, I'm here to tell whoever that is, I want you to know it's not too late. Because the finisher is inviting you. Because one of the benefits of the finisher is supernatural. Call it supernatural, call it a spirit of, call it anointing. But there is an anointing for acceleration.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? There is coming in these last days. There is a prophetic reason for this. There is coming in the last days. We are not only in the last days, we are in the last of the last days. And there is coming a timeline. And God said that, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap." Do you remember this? Do you remember this? Also, Matthew 24 tells us that Jesus said the Father, and only the Father knows that there is a timeline. And in the timeline of his planning, he is going to shut it all down. I like to think of it, it's the lease. And when the lease is up, the earth comes back.
Yeah.
Stay with me, stay with me. So the Father knows, but when the door closes, Matthew 25, next verse about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, and the foolish virgins knew where to go. By the time they got to the place to go, it was already closed. They could not come in. So there's a finality to what God is doing. Most of us say, "Oh, God is love. He'll let everybody in." That's kind of the way I would work in my life. I love everybody. Can I come in? Sure. One more is no big deal. It's too late. Can I still come in? Sure. I just welcome people. But in the judgment, the finality of God, there is a point where there's no more opportunity. Many people are missing that in their walk with God. They think, "Oh, I always have." You don't always have. There's in the plan of the Father a time frame that only he knows where he will shut it down and anybody who's not in will not get in.
Right.
But on the flip side of the context, as we approach that timeline, the word of God has been elevated, Psalms 119, above his name. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails." Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. With that said, God's word, if he spoke it, it has to come true.
Right.
Why do I say that? Because, back to the scripture, if you have sown, you will reap.
Amen.
If you have sown, you will reap. Yes. So if you give an offering out of revelation and direction by the Spirit of God, there is also a reaping to the sowing.
Amen.
I'm going a little deep. Write it down. Come back to it. Watch this later if you need to. So if today, and the offering's behind us, so just chill out. There's no second offering coming. But if today God spoke to you and said, "I want you to give a special offering because I want to bring back into your life. Not only want to use it for the benefit of the kingdom, but according to Mark 10, have a 100-fold return in this time on this side of eternity. I want to return into your life because you need it and I need you to do some more."
Yeah.
Okay, God, I'll obey you. The moment you obeyed him by faith, the clock started.
Yeah.
But if the Father knows that tomorrow at 8 a.m. he's going to shut it all down, he has till tomorrow at 8 a.m. to get the harvest back into you. Because if he doesn't do it before the time of tomorrow, 8 a.m., and I am not saying that the world's going to end tomorrow, so do not misunderstand.
Right, right, right.
Some of you go out and buy a Ferrari because you know you don't have to make the payment in 30 days. Pastor said it's all over tomorrow at 8 a.m. Please don't do that. It's an illustration. But if tomorrow at 8 a.m. the Father knows that he's going to shut it down, then before that time of shutting it down, every harvest must come in.
Yes.
Because he said, right. What you sow, you shall reap.
Right.
What if the person's no longer there to reap? It's still waiting to be reaped. And there is coming a season, church. Hear me. We are coming to the end of the last days. And there is coming the move of God. And one of the moves of God in the last days, listen to me, there will be a supernatural acceleration on the houses of God, on the people of God. Why? Because God honors and watches over his word to perform it. And he needs to fulfill it, because if he said it, it must happen. Or earth, the very foundation of earth itself, rides on the condition of God. Because the Bible tells us he upholds all things by the word of his power. Say supernatural acceleration. The disciples were way ahead of him. Jesus caught up to him, was passing them in a shorter time. He was able to go further, faster, because of God's ability in him. And some of you might say, I'll never get my business to that level. That takes 20 years. It might have taken 20 years before. You'll do in days what others took months to do. You'll do in weeks what others took years to do. Are you listening? I'm serious about this. Some of you have been moving at the pace of, because this is the way everybody operates. This is how you grow it. I'm telling you, you're getting ready to step into a new season in the name of Jesus. I decree over your life that there is an anointing of acceleration coming on your marriage, coming on your health, coming on your business, coming on your finances, coming on your destiny, that things will begin to move quicker. Because time is running out. See, I receive it. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap for 30 seconds. Hallelujah. Time is running out. Galatians 6, sows you shall reap. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap life. John chapter 4, verse 38. Jesus said to them, I want you to see this, if they can throw it on the screen. John 4, verse 38, King James. I sent you to reap. Are you listening? I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor, other men labored. You're like, how in the world can we do that? What if someone died and didn't reap at all? It's still there.
Right.
It's still there. In fact, check out Hebrews. I won't give you the whole thing because I want you to look and challenge it. I'll give you a range. Hebrews 6, 7, 8. How's that?
Okay.
And you'll find that in the Levitical law of Moses, one of the things that happened is only the certain group of people could receive tithes and could give tithes and receive tithes. But in Abraham, they were in his bosom. So God looked at it that it wasn't just them, wasn't Abraham, but it was Abraham and his descendants. Now later he refers to Abraham and a seed, seen being singular, referring to Christ. And if you're, Galatians says, if you are in Christ, then you are part of Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise.
Amen.
So there might be people out there that have sown that never reaped. They've labored, but they never harvested. And it is available. Heaven demands for it to be harvested because the word of God is online.
Yeah.
There is natural things that need to be harvested. There is spiritual things. There are people that need to be reaped. There are people that need to be saved. There is coming a day where things will happen at such a speed and as a quantity, it will begin to startle you. How in the world? What is God up to? I'm seeing more people get healed, more people get saved, more people. Your business growing so fast, you won't understand it all from the natural because it's a spiritual thing. The reaping has happened. Notice this verse again. I sent you, Jesus said, to reap that wherein you may bestow no labor, other men labored, and you entered into their labors.
Yeah. Yes.
One of my own personal prayer confessions is when I'm going through the process of speaking the word in my life and into your life, is that, Father, I thank you. According to your word, I am entering into the labors of great men and women of God. Because if they've sown it and haven't reaped it, someone needs to reap it. And we receive by faith, Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:33. They obtained it by faith. They subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, verse 33. They subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained the promises. You can passively wait for the truck to drop off food by accident because it hit the road and that food fell off the truck and rolled to your door. And you, ooh, the Lord provides. Or you can say, God, I'm going after this thing. Because both can happen, but one, if you want to get after it, when you go after the things of God, you're going to have more access. You're going to see a more supply. You're going to see a greater victory. Am I talking to somebody? Don't let the devil talk you out of this. Don't you let your neighbor talk you down from this. Don't you let people say, well, if it would have already happened for you. You might be serving the Lord. You might be on your way to heaven. You might be doing everything right, but yet to have the revelation of accessing what belongs to you through the reaping process by faith and something to stir on the inside and say, wait a minute, this doesn't mean I missed it before. This means it's my season to step into it. It doesn't mean you were bad before. It means you can be better today. It doesn't mean you've lost the past. It means you're taking the next step up. What God has for you. I sent you, Jesus said, to reap from the labors that you never did yourself. I like that. I like reaping where I haven't even sown yet. Yeah. Not only spiritually, but financially, right. Physically. Right. Some of you, while I was praying and meditating, I just had this in my spirit. Some of you, you're going to pick up clients that you never even started the cold call with. Yeah. I don't know who I am. I don't know who that's for, and it will resonate in your heart. But literally, someone's going to hand you saying, I'm retiring. Here's my clients. You can have them. That's reaping where you have not sown. Are you listening to me? That's reaping where you have not sown. That's reaping. How many people would like to begin to reap where you haven't even sown yet?
Yes, indeed.
Jesus said, I sent you. See, some people are sent. Some people just go and on their own thing. No, you got to let the Lord show you. You got to be sent. See, I got to be sent. What is this key to the spirit of faith that allows us to have the benefit of acceleration, supernatural acceleration, the anointing of acceleration? Notice what Jesus was doing. He was ministering to people, and he was ministering to the Lord. Let me say it this way. Spending time in prayer, spending time in church, spending time in worship is never, ever a wasted time.
Amen.
It is never a waste of time. It is never a waste of time. But Pastor, I've been in church my whole life and I read my Bible every day, and how come it hasn't happened for me yet? Because my people are destroyed for a lack of, if you don't have knowledge, you can't have hope. If you don't have hope, you can't have faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. What am I doing? I'm just shining the light. Psalms 119, the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding. So that you can walk out of here and say, wait a minute, you mean there's something available to me? There's something more for me than maybe, I don't care how long you've been living on this earth, I'm telling you, there's a next season of heaven. How do I know that? Because when your seasons are over, you're stepping into the season of eternity with God. And if you're still here, there's still something for you to do. The devil might have sold you the idea that it's all behind you and you're just on the grazing phase of eternity, of this side of life. But I'm telling you, he's called you to accomplish something. He's called you to do something. He's called you to reach someone. He's called you to help someone. He's called you to make a difference. And that we don't have time to do it the old way. We don't have time to do it the world's way. We have to step into the anointing of acceleration as the finisher invites us. Come and I'll send you, and you'll begin to reap great rewards. Just not material, but the difference in lives of people. Reward in your ministry, reward in your effort, reward in success in your effectiveness. Shh. We could do it the world's way and just tag Jesus' name to it, or we could begin to say, all right, God, I'm going to do it your way.
Yeah.
Think about this. The disciples are doing it the right way. Jesus was doing it the God way. The disciples were doing it the practical way. Jesus was doing it the God way. The disciples were doing it the effective way that they knew of. That was the best mode of transportation to get across. They didn't have planes in those days. So Jesus gave them, listen to this, Jesus gave them the most techie, advanced way for transportation. And he said, now that you're doing it, the best that can be done in this day and age, let me show you a different way. Well, that's Jesus, Pastor. That's not me. Well, then why'd he let Peter? Peter said, if that's you, let me go. If I can see you do it, I can do it. If I can see you do it, I can do it. If I see you as the finisher doing this, I can do it. Why? Because that's how Jesus operated. The works that I do is the Father doing the works. I see him do it and I do it. I hear him say it and I speak it. What was he? If I get the revelation of who Jesus is and what he can do, I can tie into that and say, Lord, if that's you, call me, invite me, send me, Lord. Because if you send me, I can walk. Now, Peter, we know, we talked later, he began to sink. But did you know when Jesus got Peter back into the boat, I don't think he drug him. I think he put him back up.
Yeah.
And so you fail, but let me show you how you can still win.
Yeah.
Even if, when you fail, don't get discouraged. He'll still show you how to win.
Amen.
When you fail and make a mistake, just learn from it. He'll show you how to win. And you'll not win. You'll not end it on a failure. He still ended it walking on water.
Yeah.
And he ended it stepping into the boat. And he ended it in the waves and the sea got calm.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Enter into the labors of others. I speak that in your life right now. I decree over the next 3 months, you're going to begin to see supernatural advancement as you enter into the labors of, into the labor. Now, you'll do have to do something to obey God. James says faith without works is dead. And if you're trying to do nothing to get something, that's a world system. It won't work. You have to be faithful in the little to be faithful in the much. And so you have to do what God shows you to do this level so that he can advance you to the next level. But if you're at that place and you're qualified because you have been obedient to God, what he's been showing you to do today, I speak into your life an anointing of acceleration right now. And you, the next 3 months, the next 90 days, you're going to see an acceleration in everything. Sounds one three that you put your hands to. I decree it. I decree it in the name of Jesus. And I call it so. If you believe you receive that, give the biggest shout for the next 30 seconds. Hallelujah. Give them praise. Give them praise. You're going to sell more houses than you've ever sold in 3 months. Your business is going to accelerate greater. Your investments are going to accelerate. Your impact on lives of people is going to accelerate. Your marriage is going to accelerate. It's not time to do it the world's way. We're doing it God's way. Hallelujah. In closing, your time with the Lord and your time in serving the Lord is never a waste of time. The great finisher can empower you with supernatural acceleration. I have never seen that nor never preached this thought. That's just driving down the road. Had the message for Sunday already done for the most part. And all of a sudden the Lord just dropped it on my heart. Had to start all over again, but that's okay. And I started seeing it in the text that he sent them ahead and they were long ahead and he caught them. And literally just passing them up. Don't worry about the people that are ahead of you. They're going to be the ones crying out to you. How in the world are you doing that so fast? Do you believe that? Father, we receive that together, individually and corporately. I thank you for supernatural acceleration upon our lives, upon this ministry. I thank you that the impact be so deep it can never be erased. We give you praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we want to do salvation and then we want to do communion. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church denomination or religion. I'm asking you, in the way you process, in the way you experience, in the way you understand, is Jesus Christ real to you today? Only you could answer that. Only you could answer that. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? If he's not, he can be. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we have that? Revelation 3 says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 tells us, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to lead you in a short prayer that will make an eternal difference. Let it come from your heart. If you do not know him, or for whatever reason you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right, today is the day. Today is the day for salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, wash me in your blood, forgive me and cleanse me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.